All right, welcome back to another exciting adventure here on Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, you got any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So first off, I have a story that's from May. So not that current, but it's really funny to me and I want to share. Will Carroll, the drummer for the thrash metal band Death Angel, opened up about the intense dreams he had of meeting Satan while in a medically induced coma during treatment for COVID, saying, quote, "I'm still going to listen to satanic metal, but I don't think Satan's quite as cool as I used to." Apparently, he, quote, "saw himself leave his body and plummet down to hell, where Satan, a woman in this case, punished him for the deadly sin of sloth, morphing him into a Jabba the Hutt-type creature who vomited blood until he had a heart attack." So, it just goes to show, never meet your heroes. A recording has surfaced relating to a 47-year-old alien abduction case in Pascagoula, Mississippi. On October 11th, 1973, two men, Calvin Parker and Charles Hickson, contacted the sheriff's department claiming to have been abducted that night while fishing at a nearby river. This recording is apparently of what they told the sheriff that night. Apparently, an officer who was present recently gave the recordings to Parker, who didn't know at the time that he'd even been recorded. It includes not just the interview, but the two men apparently terrified out of their minds, trying to console each other and panicking that the aliens would take them again. Parker, who was 18 years old at the time, wrote a book in 2018 about his abduction experience. And finally, astronomers have spotted, quote, "strange circular objects deep in space that do not seem to correspond to any known type of object." The objects, called odd radio circles, were spotted by new types of radio telescopes, the Australian Square Kilometer Array Pathfinder, and were noticed by researchers doing a pilot survey for the Evolutionary Map of the Universe project. The objects show up in radio wavelengths, but cannot be seen in visible infrared or X-ray light spectrums, which explains how they escaped our notice until late last year. Four such objects have been discovered, each highly circular, glowing at the edges, and appearing to be some distance away from our galaxy, although we don't know how far away or how large they are exactly. Some appear to have entire galaxies in the center, so we aren't talking about UFOs here. The preliminary hypothesis is that they are radio pulses or shock waves left behind by powerful events like gamma ray bursts. But if this is the case, there's a lot we still don't know about them. And finally, in conspiracy news, a new poll found 48% of Republicans found it to be definitely or probably true that, quote, "powerful people planned the coronavirus outbreak." Make of that what you will. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. Let's cover both the coronas at once. You know,
lot in there.
Death Angel meets Satan while in COVID coma. Okay, so last week you reported that there were crazy new symptoms that were basically the symptoms of getting old. So first we had the symptoms, then everybody saying, okay, it's like the flu. Then everybody says, okay, it's like you're dying. Then everybody says, okay, it's like you're getting old. Now they're saying it's like you've gone to hell, turned into Jabba the Hutt, and you're vomiting blood and having a heart attack. Like,
I mean, I feel like that's particular to him, since that was a punishment by Satan for his sins. So,
yeah,
like,
but
you might
make
not
it any
be
less funny.
I think we shouldn't list that as an official symptom of COVID.
Yeah,
because it's more a symptom of the deadly sin of sloth than a.
Well, you might as well list it. If somebody calls in and says, "I've been turned into Jabba the Hutt and I'm vomiting blood," you should probably help them.
I mean, true, but he was in a different plane of reality, you know? His body was here on Earth on a ventilator, so.
Right. Oh, man, that is just so.
What could we have done?
Awesome, awesome metal story, you know? It's just so, so perfect.
What's funny to me is that, like, you'd think a death metal guy would be like, "yeah, I saw Satan and he told me I was totally rad." But no, it's like, "oh, God, that was a terrible experience. I didn't like it."
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Satan.
That's what's funnier to me.
You know, he listens to like Lawrence Welk and Muzak down there. You know, just terrible, like repetitive polka or something. Just
yeah,
destroying your ears at just insanely loud volumes. And then 48% of Republicans believe that the coronavirus was given to us on purpose.
Yeah.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. So just under half.
To sway the election, right?
Well, I mean, that wasn't part of the question. Hmm. It's like it's a survey. They just asked whether they thought it was the case that, quote, powerful people planned the coronavirus outbreak. That's all that it is. So there's no – they didn't ask about motives or anything. But nonetheless, just under half of people think that – of Republicans think that it was planned by someone, which is, to me, still incredibly crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the idea that – yeah, no, I agree. I think it's just crazy. Now, do you think there's a statute of limitations on alien abductions? Because 47 years later seems like a long time.
Yeah, so
you think these aliens are off the hook, or you think still?
I feel like the aliens probably would enjoy some form of diplomatic immunity. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if we were to try to take them to task, then we would have to seriously consider, you know, whether we would be annoying the Arcturian Empire or whatever. We would have to take into account the intergalactic ramifications of pursuing this crime.
I gotta say, getting back to politics, I think diplomatic immunity is total BS. I don't think that should exist. You know, if you come to our country, you know, our reporters, they go to the Mideast and they have to wear little hats.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I'm cool with that. You know, you go there, you got to follow the stuff in order to get the story. You know, if you come here and, or you go to England from here and you run over some kid on a motorcycle, you should probably get in trouble.
Yeah, but okay, here's a hypothetical. Let's say the American president goes to Russia and kills someone with his car by accident. Mm-hmm. Do the Russians then arrest the president and cause nuclear war, killing everyone on the planet?
Probably. Is that what you're asking? Probably, yeah.
I think they probably shouldn't. They should probably take a broader view of the situation.
Okay, maybe the bar for diplomatic immunity has to be a little bit higher.
Sure, I agree on that.
Let's keep it to five people from any given country at a time.
Okay. I'm just saying the concept of diplomatic immunity in absolute terms makes sense. I think the way it's applied is often BS, like you said.
All right. Well, you know, is the statute of limitations up for the alien abduction? That's what we want to know. If you got an answer, tell us about
yes.
it. All right. Well, tonight we got a topic that we haven't had on too much, maybe covered it once or twice. You know, I realized off of Facebook today that I've been friends with Mark Slade for 3 years, meaning we're pushing our fourth year here on Radio Wasteland. And I want to say that we've covered serial killers once or twice, maybe three times. And tonight we're covering it again in Fox Hollow, so come on back for Radio Wasteland.
This is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Because of the probability of our power being shut off during wind events or fires, many people are installing standby generators. Shasta Gas is now selling standby generators with propane tanks so that you will have home power during these outages. Give us a call at 365-3793 to get a quote on a generator and tank installation. That number again is 365-3793.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop, the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest tonight is Richard Estep. We're going to be talking about his new book, The Horrors of Fox Hollow Farm, Unraveling the History and Hauntings of a Serial Killer's Home. You know, this book title really is kind of covering everything that we're interested in, serial killers, paranormal, and everything, but Fox Hollow Farm was, I was talking to my wife about this, and she's kind of the true crime fiend, and she hadn't heard of this one, so I think we should probably start off with talking about what actually happened at Fox Hollow Farm, what the initial event was that sort of kicked all this off.
Absolutely. Well, it surprises me that Herb Baumeister, the I-70 Strangler, is one of those serial killers that most people have never heard of. You know, everyone knows Gacy, Dahmer, Bundy, people of their nature, but not Herb Baumeister. So the story is that Herb Baumeister was a married man, a family man, in Indiana. And he and his wife owned a chain of thrift stores, you know, discount stores, and made a pretty decent, prosperous living, enough so that they could afford to buy this 17.5-acre property called Fox Hollow Farm out in Carmel, which is, you know, a rural part about 20, 30 minutes away from Indianapolis. So to all intents and purposes, you have the perfect American family here, you know, clean cut, fresh living, boy, girl, that kind of thing. But beneath the surface, Herb Baumeister was something very different. When his wife, Julie, would go take the kids to the lake for the weekend, Herb would hit the gay bars of Indianapolis, and he was well known there under the pseudonym Brian Smart. And he would look for a very specific type of man, preferably a younger one, anywhere between the late teens through the early to mid-30s at the oldest, and hopefully one that would not be missed. Because this is the early to mid-90s, you know, so there was a huge stigma to being a gay male or female in those days. And when people of that kind of nature disappeared, often too many questions weren't asked.
Right.
You know,
it seemed to be a common MO of the time.
Well, and yeah, very much so. And people just brushed it off when these guys would disappear. It was said, you know, oh, maybe they just moved on. They went to San Francisco. Or the most awful thing I heard was, you know, people would brush it off and say, oh, maybe they died of AIDS. Without actually, you know, looking into this too much. So Herb Baumeister was always looking for these men that would not be missed, preferably no family, no loved ones, nobody to miss them. And what he would do, Fox Hollow Farm is unique. It's this mock Tudor farmhouse, large, large house, and has a basement with a swimming pool in it, which I've never really seen in another house. Mm. And so what he would do, before he would go out of a weekend, he would crank up the heat on the pool to maximum temperature and put the pool cover across. So, you know, just like when you put a saucepan of hot water simmering on your range. And then he would go out and hit the town. He would find a young man and say, hey, my name is Brian Smart, and I'm working in construction, and I'm working on this great old house about, you know, a short drive from here, and they've got a pool. So how would you like to come back, have a few drinks, and party? And, you know, it wasn't a hard sell to some of these guys. So he would take them back to Fox Hollow Farm and take them downstairs, and the pool room has these large French doors which he would open up and let in the cool night air, and he would roll back the pool cover. So you get this very hot air rising from the pool, this influx of cold night air, and what does that give you? Steam.
Steam, yeah.
So this makes it a very disorienting environment. And to make this even weirder, Herb had put a whole bunch of mannequins, like shop, you know, storefront window mannequins, all dressed for a beach party. He put them all around the pool and in the wet bar next door as if there was a party going on. And so he would get the young man into the pool, and he would ply them with drink and drugs. There's the party that he promised them, and he would tell them that he knew a really cool trick. And he used to invite them to loop a length of the pool hose around his neck and slowly squeeze it as they would masturbate one another. And Herb said, this feels amazing. You know, we're talking about autoerotic asphyxiation. And then he would say, it's my turn. So here we go. And he would strangle his victim to death. And it's not known. There are some theories. It's not known whether he set out to do that the first time and accidentally killed someone, found out that he liked it. I don't think that's the case, and I'll talk about why that is in a short while. But he would kill and strangle them to death, and then he would do whatever he chose with the corpse before dragging it out into the woods behind Fox Hollow Farm. And one of the stranger things about the murders, Fox Hollow was surrounded by very thick woods, and it is today, but it was much more isolated then, because now there are houses relatively close on either side. But back then, you moved out onto the back deck, and you saw nothing but trees. And so he would drag the bodies out there, and he would burn them, mulch them, cut them up, but what he never did was bury them. So those bodies were left to decompose, partially burned in some cases, in the woods behind Fox Hollow Farm. And he got away with this for years. It's believed that as many as 19 young men could have died at Fox Hollow. So many of the bones that were found were damaged, weather beaten, that it was impossible to trace how many. But the number of victims at Fox Hollow for sure is at least 10, possibly as many as 19.
Man, that is just crazy. So you said after he Well, I guess I got a couple questions here. So the first one is, do we know if his MO evolved? In the case of a lot of serial killers, it sort of evolved over time, but I guess you suggested that maybe the first time was an accident and he discovered that he liked it. So that might be the case there. So as far as we know, this is the only way he killed people.
But, you know, you'll notice that I told you that his nickname was the I-70 Strangler, not the Fox Hollow Strangler.
Right.
The reason for that is this. Whenever a serial killer is caught, as I'm sure you know and I'm sure your viewers know, the police start looking through their files for unsolved murders in the vicinity, ones that fit the MO. It turns out that 9 or 10 young men were found killed along the interstate corridor in the area, always on weekends that Herb Baumeister was away on a business trip driving. And they were found strangled, dumped by the side of the road or in some trees in a state of undress, often with their pants around their ankles.
Mm.
And so because of the fact that the murders coincided with Herb's trips, something else that the police noticed, the murders stopped at the same time the Baumeisters bought Fox Hollow Farm.
I see.
So they caught him eventually, or
no? Here's how they caught him. So you said you're it's Chauncey, is it?
Yes, Chauncey.
So you said you're married. You have a wife.
Yes.
So if you happen to be acting strangely, you know, I don't know what your wife would think, but it's pretty reasonable to assume she's not going to go. I do wonder if Chauncey is bringing men home and murdering them and putting them in the backyard. But nobody really starts out with
it's that. Not what you jump to first, yeah.
Right.
I put the pickle jar on the wrong shelf and she calls me.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
There's so, you know,
it's a monster.
It's easy to see how this kind of escapes his wife's attention. The first real clue was when Herb's son is playing out in the woods behind Fox Hollow and he finds a human skull.
Yeah.
So now bear in mind, he's got a sister, and any boy with a sister finds a skull, and this is a golden opportunity, right? So he goes to the house, gets a big broom handle, puts the skull on the stick, and puts it up to a bedroom window. Cue screaming, cue pandemonium, cue hilarity for him. And so Mom, of course, wants to know, where did you find this thing? So he leads her out into the woods, and Herb's wife sees bones. She sees lots of bones. And they look human. So rather than call the police, she confronts Herb when he comes home from work.
Lee, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential bidder to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Summer Blast is live at the Shasta Public Libraries. Join in their free summer reading program for kids, tweens, teens, and adults. Going on all summer long. Help your kids avoid the summer slide and be a reading role model. Read to win prizes like books, gift cards, and a kid's kitchen playset and more. The more you read, the more chances to win. Let your imagination run wild. Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Sign up online today at summerblast.fun.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to us.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Richard Estep. We're talking about his book, The Horrors of Fox Hollow Farm, Unraveling the History and Hauntings of a Serial Killer's Home. You know, when I first heard the title of it, as soon as I read Fox Hollow, I'm just all, oh, that's pretty Lovecraftian. I like that. It, you know, it makes me think of Witch's Hollow, and which was actually August Derleth after Lovecraft's death, but Lovecraft's credited. And Fox Hollow, it's just like, you know, you see a place called Fox Hollow, and you're all like, oh, I know something shady went on there. So it's a perfect name to carry on a legacy, you know. So we, in the last segment, we covered the murders that went on there spanning years. And so since then, the house has a new history that's going along with it that it just can't shake this, right?
Well, something that's very unique about Fox Hollow Farm is that most locations of serial murders are demolished once it comes to light what took place there. And I think rightfully so, you know. You don't want them becoming a shrine to the wrong sort of people. Mm-hmm. But Fox Hollow was left on the market. Herb Baumeister's wife and children moved out, quite understandably. They wanted to step out of the shadow of that place and the events. And, you know, she changed their name and they started their life over. And the house was infested with, ironically enough, raccoons for a long time. And then it was finally purchased by a couple called Rob and Vicky Graves. No pun intended, that truly, his name truly is Rob Graves. And Rob is an expert on the Herb Baumeister murders. In addition to being a coroner, Rob lives in Herb Baumeister's house, sleeps in his bedroom, you know, bathes in his bath, and was intrigued by everything that happened at Fox Hollow. Initially, though, because they're what they like to call horse people, they were just looking for somewhere where they could raise horses, you know, and Fox Hollow was not only this huge 17.5-18 acre ranch, essentially, but it was going at quite a discount. And it was only when they did a viewing of the place, they turned up to walk around, and they realized they recognized it from the newsreels, and the realtor had to disclose, yeah, hey, a number of murders believed to have taken place at Fox Hollow, and the bodies were found in the woods.
And the realtor didn't tell them until I brought it up?
Well, I mean, you do have to disclose that.
Okay.
Yeah, they were told. Because, you know, it's that old thing, right? If something looks too good to be true, it usually is.
Right.
So there were a few murders.
Yeah, right? You don't get a house this size and a state this size at a discount without something being amiss.
Yeah, and totally. I mean, this guy was a coroner whose last name was Graves, so he had to expect some sort of serendipitousness to go on in his life beyond that.
But, you know, in history of murders, it could have been dry rot, so yeah, maybe they got off easy.
It's not asbestos. This is a little more serious.
Yeah, exactly.
But Rob wrote the section of the book on Herb Baumeister himself. He studied the man intensely. And so, you know, I'd heard about this place and heard it was supposedly haunted. As the story was told to me, Rob and Vicky were both very skeptical. They don't believe in ghosts, or they didn't believe in that kind of thing. So, you know, they knew there was a bit of a macabre history at their new home, but they said they could live with it, and pretty much they had no issue. They moved in and finally brought in a friend of theirs, a young guy called Joe LeBlanc, to be a lodger, because they had a bunch of spare space, and, you know, it would help to have a little extra money coming in. And that's when things started to get really strange. Vicky Graves was coming home from work one day. Rob was on the roof doing some work on it. And Vicky's just standing there looking at the back of the house into the woods, and she saw a trespasser. Now, it's one of the things that they used to have issues with. Would be people that would, you know, come off the hiking trails and trespass on the property because of its reputation. And it was a young man in a red T-shirt. And she was just about to get Rob to go down and challenge him when she noticed that this young man's legs kind of weren't there. Just below his waist, his legs ended. He seemed to be walking literally in thin air. And as she watched, he walks into the woods and disappeared. You know, which is remarkable. Joe the lodger moved into the in-laws' apartments, which really it's just a set of extra living space that's bolted onto the side of the main farmhouse. And that's what Joe rented. Now, Joe began to have these terrible nightmares that he was being chased through the woods outside the farm. He could never see what, because he couldn't bring himself in the dream to turn around and look. But he got the sensation that he was running for his life from something. And one night, he's walking his dog down the driveway. Fox Hollow has a huge, huge driveway. It's longer than some streets. So he's walking his dog to the end of the driveway when all of a sudden his dog takes off, goes running into the woods. So Joe goes after it, thinking, you know, it's a rabbit, it's a squirrel, it's a raccoon, something the dog is going after. And as he gets into the tree line, Joe sees this guy, this young man, in a red T-shirt looking back at him. And then all of a sudden, the young man is not there anymore. He disappears. Now, they didn't compare notes. Joe and Vicky didn't compare notes until one night they're looking at some old video news footage, because Rob had gotten videotapes of the news coverage of the Baumeister murders, and they're just going through reviewing some of this footage, and the video footage was showing the faces of Herb Baumeister's victims, and at the same moment, both Vicky and Joe are out of their chair pointing at the screen saying, "That's the guy. That's the guy we saw in the woods."
Yeah. All right. Well, we're coming up on the end here. I want to be sure that we can tell people where they can get the book, The Horrors of Fox Hollow Farm, Unraveling the History and Hauntings of a Serial Killer's Home by Richard S. Sepp. Where's the best place for them to go buy this?
You can get it in your local bookstore, of course, if it's open at the moment. But you can certainly order it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any of those retailers also.
And sorry, go ahead, Kara.
Oh, and I was just going to say, you have another upcoming book here on Dark Ground, investigating the haunted Monroe House, yes?
Yeah, again in Indiana. I'm starting to do a lot of stuff out there. The Monroe House is an interesting location that I first heard about on a TV show called Paranormal Lockdown. And it's this house that reputedly has a dark history. One thing that's for sure is that bones, which turned out to be human, were found in a crawl space beneath the house, and they are as yet unidentified. We don't know whose they are. Yeah. So I finished my paranormal investigation at the Monroe House last year, and I'm finishing the book now. That should be out in August.
All right.
We'll and have then to talk to you one, about it then.
Then let's recap the one that's coming out a year out from now.
So that book, the as-yet-to-be-titled Serial Killer Project, is by Visible Ink Press and should be out round about now-ish, if not slightly earlier, in 2021. Should come back and talk to you guys when it's released.
Hope so. And if my vote counts, I'm going to vote for you to title it the as-yet-to-be-named Serial Killer Project.
Stranger things have happened.
Right. It'd be nice if you came back and talked to us about On Dark Ground, too. Man, this has been really interesting.
Yeah, crazy really stuff.
We deal with a lot of paranormal and stuff like that, and every once in a while we get these ones that are heavily rooted in reality, and man, I just find...
Yeah, we don't talk about serial killers on this show that often.
Yeah.
Usually when there's just a paranormal angle, but it's
weird. You know, I've always been the haunted healthcare guy. I do the show Haunted Hospitals, and I became known for writing about that because I'm a medical professional, but I had this string of kind of murder haunting cases, so I wrote a book called Gacy's Ghost about the spirit of John Wayne Gacy haunting a movie theater in a small town in Auburn, Illinois. I've done that. I'm writing a book out later this year about the Villisca Axe Murder House and my investigation of that particular haunting. And then there was Fox Hollow. So it's just been a run of, you know, a Venn diagram of where the paranormal meets true crime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, well, it's fascinating stuff.
My wife keeps hoping for me to find a haunted beach somewhere, but it's
just yeah, totally.
The swimming pool might be the best.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, tell her you know one with a swimming pool. All right, you've been listening to Richard Estep here on Radio Wasteland talking about his book, The Horrors of Fox Hollow Farm, Unraveling the History and Hauntings of the Serial Killer's Home. You can find that in your local bookstore or online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You know all those places. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KC Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.